The Sydney Street Shakers is a local band that performed music from the St. Louis jazz scene of the 1920s. Contributor Steve Potter has more about this group, whose debut album features some unfamiliar tunes as well as old favorites. This is the band's version of Ozark Mountain Blues.
We're listening to Ozark Mountain Blues from the Sydney Street Shakers' debut album, Laugh My Weary Blues Away, which features St. Louis jazz of the 1920s. And here now are band members Kelly Everett and G.J. Muller, and artist slash music historian Kevin Belford. Welcome to you all.
Thanks.
Hi.
Hi.
Kelly Everett, you're the band manager as well as a band member?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do for the band?
Well, on the recording, I played bass saxophone. But now that the clarinet player, Chloe Fioranzo, has moved to New Orleans, I've taken over on clarinet and soprano saxophone.
And you manage the group, too?
I do, yes.
T.J. Muller, you have a dual role as well.
Somewhat. I play the cornet, and I'm also the onstage leader, I guess.
The band leader, right?
I do all the pointing and shouting and telling off, yeah.
A lot of shouting? Or?
Oh, mostly shouting, yeah.
Kevin Belford, you wrote the album's liner notes. So what's the story behind the song that we just heard the Sydney Street Shakers play?
That was Ozark Mountain Blues by the Missourians. That's original St. Louis music from the 1920s. The Missourians were from St. Louis, and that was a huge, huge song. The Missourians later became Cab Calloway's band.
Really?
Yeah.
And toured with him through his career?
Well, up in Harlem. Uh-huh. They were the Heidi Ho band, yep.
Kelly and TJ, tell me, what's your background as far as this, as far as the type of music you've enjoyed and played in the past and how it led you to this endeavor?
Do you want to start?
Sure. I started playing traditional jazz with my father and my family. We had a family Dixieland band, and we used to play on the steamboats in the Lake District in Cumbria, where I grew up as a child. And I could only play 5'2" in American Patrol,
uh-huh.
But we just used to loop those songs over and over again for the passengers.
So this has been a type of music you've listened to forever.
Yeah, I remember when I was about 11 years old in elementary school, I tried to start a Dixieland band with these poor, like, 9-year-old kids who could just about play clarinet and piano and stuff. And we got some sheet music and tried it. And I've been doing it ever since, really, since about the age of 8 or 9.
Wow. Kelly?
I have a little bit more of a varied background than that. I have played a lot of different genres like jug band and rock and roll, but I started playing jazz as a high school student and then got more serious about playing traditional jazz in the last 6 or 7 years.
And you both have a Pokey Lafarge connection, which
yes.
is interesting.
My husband plays harmonica and various other instruments in that band.
Uh-huh. And TJ, Pokey's the reason that you're here in St. Louis to begin with.
That's correct. I met Pokey in the UK when he was touring. He heard me play the trumpet and offered me a job, so I came to St. Louis to work with him as a trumpet player and then a banjo player later on.
And you've stayed because?
I got married earlier last year. That's one of the reasons I stayed, the big reason.
Okay,
but I also stayed for the local music scene, which uh-huh. I also enjoy.
Two good reasons, I guess, mm-hmm. right? Kevin, I first met you about 8 years ago because you wrote a book, Devil at the Confluence, which is about the history of jazz and blues in St. Louis that you wrote and illustrated.
Yeah, that's my thing about this. That's how I got involved is... We met early. Kelly called me in early, and we discussed what songs should be the St. Louis songs on a St. Louis CD.
Yeah, Kelly, this tell me your story, because you actually have done a lot of research on this.
Yes. I started by wanting to add St. Louis music into our band's repertoire.
And you were playing what originally?
A lot of the standards. But then when I started to find out all this great music, and it seemed really surprising that it wasn't well known. And wasn't already part of the traditional jazz canon. So I started doing transcriptions of certain songs because it was difficult to find sheet music. And that kind of led me down a rabbit hole. And it got a little confusing when you had to decide how you can define when the music is part of a city's history.
Uh-huh. And how'd you do that?
We decided that if the person spent a significant amount of a period in their career in St. Louis, then we could kind of claim them for ourselves.
Uh-huh. Every track on your CD, Laugh My Weary Blues Away, was written by someone that lived and performed in St. Louis.
That's correct.
Right, and all in the 1920s or pretty close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Kevin, were you familiar with each artist?
Oh, we got familiar with them.
But were you originally? Because you had a history of that anyway.
I had mentioned it. It was hard to, in Devil at the Confluence, it was hard to introduce the jazz music, or what's categorized as jazz, into that book because the blues people are kind of strict about the edges. But in St. Louis, that didn't seem to matter. Blues and jazz kind of blurred together. And what I did with Devil at the Confluence, finding all new stories that have never been told before, is the same thing I did with this, and why I think we're all pretty excited about it. The stories are pretty powerful. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about, let's hear another one, and this is Ducks, Yes, Yes, Yes. First, explain that to me.
Yeah, it's the title. I don't know what he's talking about. This is Stump Johnson. Stump Johnson was the brother of Jesse Johnson. This is, if there's anything that's an indicative theme of St. Louis jazz, this might be it. Ducks, Yaz, Yaz, Yaz. Jesse Johnson was the local music promoter in St. Louis and kind of put us on the map. This song got covered over and over again afterwards by everybody from our locals, Oliver Cobb and A. Johnson, to Tampa Red and champion Jack Dupree.
Mama called a rooster, she thought it was a dog. She brought it to the table with his legs held up. And in came the children with a cup and a glass. They were looking for the liquor from his yes, 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 yes. Won't you tell me, baby, have you ever been to Spain and seen the voodoo women, how they shake their thing? They got rings on their fingers and bells on their toes. What they got, babe, nobody knows. I'm going down to Market Street, where the men and the women, they all do me. Men do a thing they call the Georgia rug. The women fall in line with the big watchtub. Me and my gal were walking down the street when she caught the rheumatism in her feet. And when she stooped over to pick some off that grass, you know the same thing struck her in the yes, yes, yes.
And that's the Sydney Street Shakers. We're talking with band members Kelly Everett and T.J. Muller. Also, Kevin Belford is here, who did the liner notes. Who's doing the vocals on that one?
That's me there.
You sound great.
Thank you.
I can see the Pogue LaFarge influence a little bit.
Oh, sure, yeah. Something must have rubbed off.
What kind of interest are you getting from the public in this kind of music? I mean, it's a throwback.
Yeah, well, you know, we have a very varied and mixed crowd. Everything from, I mean, last year I played in elementary schools and retirement homes and everything in between.
Really?
And we have a mixed crowd that come out to our shows as well.
Yeah, what's a typical show like, I'm wondering, Kelly? Seems like people might get out of their chairs.
Yeah, we tend to have some dancers who show up, and we also have a lot of spectators and a lot of drinkers. And
that's just in the band.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that you mention that, though, who are the rest of the band members?
We have Chloe Fioranzo was a former band member, and she was on the album. And then we also have Marianne Schulte on piano, Joe Park on guitar and banjo, Jake Allspach on trombone and banjo, Matt Meyer on drums, Ryan Koenig on percussion, and Joey Glenn on bass on a couple of songs.
Tell me a little bit about what it took to put this album together. I know you did some crowdfunding. I think you had a grant. How did it all happen?
I applied for a grant from the Regional Arts Commission, and they awarded it to me, so that helped out a lot. And we actually didn't do any crowdfunding. I used that platform as a way to offer pre-orders.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, just saved up money from playing gigs for the rest of it.
Tell me about what rehearsals are like with your group.
We don't really have them. Yeah, they are on stage a lot, but when we were preparing this music, I would write out the song, all of what I considered to be the most important parts, and also parts that I determined were not improvised on the original recordings. And then, so we all look at that, and people fill their roles in the band. So everyone kind of knows when they're playing a certain instrument that they have a certain job to do.
And TJ, are you trying to recreate the original sound, or are you putting your own spin on it, or how are you approaching that?
I would say I'm trying to, I wouldn't say I'm trying to recreate, I would say I'm trying to create within the same, in the same way as they were creating. So I listen to a lot of this music, and almost exclusively I listen to 1920s music, and when I play I try and shut out, more modern jazz influences, and I try and make the improvisation free and not confined. But I just try and capture what they were going for.
Is that how you come to it as well? Do you like to improvise on the spot, or are you trying to recreate the original sound? How do you really approach it?
As a bass saxophonist, your job is to just play a bass line, and that's all totally improvised. I haven't written that out, but there are certain things that you need to accomplish with that. So,
Kevin, let's hear another piece from the album, and this is from 1923. What can you tell us about Bluegrass Blues?
This is a pretty important song to St. Louis. The song was written by Elmer Schobel, who eventually started the New Orleans Rhythm Kings. He wrote this song, but in St. Louis, two of our largest and their first recorded jazz groups, David Silverman and Gene Rodemick, recorded it. You can listen within the month between David Silverman and Gene Rodemick. Rodemick comes up with a trumpet riff in the middle of the song that changes everything. You'll hear it. It sounds like Doo Wackadoo, which became a theme of music from the 1920s.
That was used in a lot of other ways, wasn't it?
Absolutely. It was like a cliche of the 20s music. And so it was definitely created here in St. Louis. The next recording of it is by Paul Whiteman, and he calls it Doo Wackadoo.
And that's the Sydney Street Shakers from their debut album, Laugh My Weary Blues Away. We're talking with band members T.J. Muller and Kelly Everett, along with music historian Kevin Belford. Talk about a little bit about the collaborating that you do, because I know you're also involved with, you mentioned Pokey Lafarge earlier, other groups in St. Louis. So give me the big picture here.
Well, I play in several groups. I lead my own traditional jazz group called the Gaslight Squares, and the focus of that group is to sort of try and tie in the older generation of traditional jazz players with the new generation, and keep that chain from the 1920s musicians to the current day, to keep that moving on. And we play every Friday at a spot called Yaki's on Cherokee Street.
Right.
And that's usually a four-piece band, tuba, piano, banjo, and trumpet. I'm also heavily involved in the St. Louis Banjo Club, which is a lot of fun as well. And that club is coming up for 50 years old now.
Wow, is that professionals?
Some professionals. yeah, it's there's a whole mix of people who have been professional musicians, folks who played in your father's mustache in the 60s and Red Garter and clubs like that.
Right, yeah.
Lots of the pizza parlor, if you remember Shakey's Pizza Days, some of those banjo players attend that club.
Huh. What about you, Kelly? What else do you do?
I primarily play with a touring band called the Hooten Hollers. That's a blues and rock and roll group. And a lot of other bands that are all part of the same record label, Big Muddy Records. So I play with the Southwest Watson Sweethearts, which is a country western duo, the Loot Rock Gang, occasional guest with Rum Drum Ramblers, and I'm also a member of the St. Louis Banjo Club.
Wow, you both work a lot. What's the best way that that we as fans can support local musicians? We have an active music scene for sure, but I know it's not an easy way to make a living.
That's correct.
Right?
I would say just actually going out and seeing bands perform and tipping them, actually purchasing the music instead of just downloading it.
Right.
I think it's good to know that music doesn't just exist in concert halls, and you can find good local music for free almost any night of the week. You just have to get out there and look for it. And when you find it, tip the band.
As a music fan, Kevin, and historian, how do you think the Shakers fit into the music scene here, and why do you think they're worthy? And I know you do.
Oh, I'm proud of this. This is what I had hoped for and didn't exist before my book came along, but I knew that we had this legacy, and other people now see it, and other people are proud of it too. And this is the start of the trend.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was remembering a conversation you and I had back when your book came out 8 years ago, and we were talking generally about how a lot of people in St. Louis didn't really realize the significance St. Louis had in the history of jazz and blues. It's been sort of overshadowed by other cities. Now, that was 8 years ago. Has that changed?
This is the change. You're seeing it. This next generation is absolutely urbanist, interested in the past, interested in not just the revival or anything, just bringing it forward, and which is what St. Louis, if it has any claim to music creation, is bringing the past forward and making the new out of the old.
Well, Kelly, TJ, has it ever been a hard sell just because your music is, you know, we don't hear it on the radio? Maybe someone that walks in hasn't heard this type of music at all, maybe. Is it tough for some people?
I think it's really accessible because it's fun and exciting. You don't really have to know a lot about the music or the history to be able to enjoy it.
Some people do have preconceptions about the genre, though. Some people hear what they want to hear, and they hear Disney music. And I think the hard thing is trying to get people to take it seriously sometimes, especially in the serious jazz world, that this is an art form. It's not just novelty, quirky music from the past. Uh-huh. That is one obstacle.
Well, we're going to go out with a piece from 1925. Kevin, I'll let you set that up in just a second. But as far as the Shakers go, what do you have coming up in the next month or two?
We play every third Wednesday at Foam on Cherokee Street. So our next performance there is Wednesday, February 15th, and we will be playing a Mardi Gras party on Thursday, February 23rd at Off-Broadway.
Kevin, Swing in the Swing.
Yeah, by Harry's Happy Four. This is 1925 out of St. Louis. These are three of the Missourians, R.Q. Dickerson, Charlie Stamps, and pianist Ears Prince, working with a guy named Harry Cooper. It's really a fun song.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you all. I love what you do, and continued success.
Thank you.
That's the song Swinging the Swing, performed by the St. Louis band, the Sydney Street Shakers, a group that performs St. Louis jazz from the 1920s. It was brought to you by contributor Steve Potter. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.